its current state on 90.5 WKAR. Welcome back. A new exhibit at the MSU Museum focuses on the plight of turtles around the world. Turtles in Trouble is the name of it, and WKAR's Melissa Benmark has been exploring it. What'd you find out, Melissa?
Well, we're looking at an exhibit that's really meant to boost the awareness of the kind of impact that humans have on turtle populations worldwide. And it's a complicated matter. A lot of it has to do with how long turtles live and egg mortality and all kinds of things like that. I spoke with MSU Museum's Jim Harding. He's an instructor there and an advisor in zoology at MSU. And he's a specialist in wildlife outreach, and he has all kinds of cool critter things in his office. I could have just spent all day looking at the cool critter things in his office. And he told me that this exhibit is really an unusual combination of science and art.
The MSU Museum has been making an effort, especially in one of our upper floor galleries, to combine art and science and cultural things, you know. And we recently met a gentleman who does the most amazing ceramic sculptures of turtles, both Michigan turtles and turtles from different parts of the world, turtles and tortoises. And I, for years, have been trying to do an exhibit or get an exhibit going here at the museum just on turtles to make people aware of the plight of turtles and turtle conservation. And so I thought, wow, okay, this may be an opportunity.
Talk about some of the environmental concerns that are going on with the turtle population worldwide right now.
Turtles start out with a basic problem. They've been a successful group of animals in the fossil record, we find them as long ago as there were dinosaurs. So in other words, 220, 225 million years ago. So they've been around a long time, and you can say they've been very successful, and turtles can be very common even today in some situations. But basically, turtles have a problem in that most of their eggs are eaten by animals before they hatch, and their little bite-sized babies are also eaten by lots of different things. And so nature has, I'm sure this has gone on for millions of years, but nature made up for this by turtles evolving to have very long lives compared to other wild animals. Turtles, you know, an average turtle lives 40 or 50 years, and there are many that surpass the century mark. So turtles live long lives because that way the females can produce a clutch or two of eggs every year, and even though most of those eggs never result in adult turtles, a few of them might because these animals have so long to do it. So what's happening now is that over the whole world, wherever there are turtles, they are being exploited by humans at a rate that's far higher than they can hope to replace. You can gather a lot of turtle eggs and still have turtles around because, you know, we are just acting as egg predators. But if you start exploiting adult turtles and tortoises, then the population will plummet pretty quickly because they don't have the longevity to replace themselves. And that's basically what's happening. Here in Michigan, of course, we do have some species that are threatened or of special concern. And then worldwide, just the increase in human population, the increase in economic well-being of different populations. For example, I don't pick on any one ethnic group, but just as an example, over in Southeast Asia and in China, we have seen a growth just in the last few decades of the middle class. You know, their economics have turned around. So even though people always ate turtles, it was usually a local phenomenon. You know, people would collect turtles locally for their own soup pots. But, they would never take them all or, you know, it never made a significant impact on them. But now there's a huge commercial trade because you have these huge urban populations that wanted to eat turtles or use them for medicine. And so there's this tremendous, economic impetus to collect turtles, ship them en masse in the markets. And turtles just can't handle that. And so right now, the result is that the turtles and tortoises are probably among the most endangered groups of vertebrate animals on Earth.
With kids in particular who see exhibits, how do you get them interested in turtles without potentially contributing to the phenomenon of them coming home with turtles that end up in a box in their bedroom, which is, you know, kind of defeats the purpose of the education?
That's a really good question, because if I said that people should never keep turtles as pets, I would be a horrible hypocrite. Because I grew up as a little boy getting interested in natural history in part by keeping animals that I found. You know, my dad was pretty strict. You know, he let me keep these things for a while, especially when I was much younger, you know, and couldn't care for things properly. He recognized that, and he'd say, well, you can keep that turtle in your sandbox for, you know, a day or two, and then we're going to take it down to the pond and let it go. But after a while, you know, I learned proper husbandry, and I learned to keep how to keep these things alive, and I gained a lot from it. So if I said people should never keep turtles as pets, I'd be simply hypocritical. In fact, I still have a few that, you know, I tell people they are scientific specimens, but really I enjoy them enough to call them pets. So
they have names?
Exactly, yeah, you know. But on the other hand, we cannot be going out into the wild and picking up turtles left and right. We can't be running them over with our cars. We can't be draining the swamps and the marshlands. There are so many things we're doing to impact turtles, and if people went out and collected turtles, especially the rarer species that people really want to keep as pets, like box turtles and so on, these are protected in Michigan, and it is illegal to pick them up, and we shouldn't. So if somebody wanted a pet turtle, there are many captive bred sources now. You do not have to go out in the wild and capture a turtle, and we heartily discourage that. But you can find legitimate up-and-up breeders of turtles to, you know, stay above the on the sunny side of the law, and you can find turtles as pets. Not everybody should have a turtle as a pet. You know, it shouldn't be and they certainly shouldn't be throwaway pets. If you get a turtle or a tortoise as a pet, this is a long-term investment.
I'm sort of confounded by the car thing, because it seems like it's not like bunnies that run back and forth at lightning speed and you really, really try hard not to hit them. I mean, it's not, and I know some could be moving at night, but it seems like if you were paying attention, you wouldn't have to hit that many turtles with your car.
You know, I'm absolutely amazed sometimes at how turtles get hit in the road. I see these beautiful big Blandings turtles, or even the even bigger snapping turtles, hit in the middle of the road. I mean, not a busy highway. I mean, like a side street. And I keep thinking, come on, folks, if that was a rock in the middle of the road, would you hit it? How do you hit something the size of bigger than a football, you know, in the middle of the road? I don't know. But you bring up a very serious problem, because road crossing mortality is a serious, what biologists call a population sink. It means it's basically a place where turtles go to die. And as we've already discussed, you can't lose a lot of adult turtles and expect your population of turtles to exist for very long. I would say, even though I'm opposed to pet collecting and especially commercial pet collecting, I have to say that if for most species, road mortality probably kills hundreds of times more turtles than small children picking one up off the sidewalk. You know, thousands of turtles are killed on roads every year, and it's a significant loss. It's a significant problem.
We were talking a little bit before the interview about young people coming up in your field, mm-hmm. and it's not all that easy to get a job doing what you do, especially in the herpetology world. What would your advice be to young people who are just starting to realize that they're fascinated with these millions of year old creatures? I mean, you know, the species having been around for millions of years.
Right. No. Yeah, I get approached by, college students and prospective college students all the time that say, you know, I've always loved, you know, reptiles, or I've always loved snakes, and I've always loved, or, you know, like as we were saying, big cats, or, you know, sort of dramatic, romantic animals. And, you know, I'd love to have a career that dealt with these. And the thing is, the number of jobs that come up each year for herpetologists, you know, the people who study reptiles and amphibians, and, or ornithologists or marine mammals, the number of positions are just going to be very few every year. I never tell a student they can't accomplish something. I do tell them that they may need to work very hard and be very focused. We were also discussing the fact that you do not have to be a biologist to contribute to these fields. A lot of people, for example, just in herpetology and in turtle biology and turtle conservation, a lot of the people who are involved with it are not trained biologists. Getting back to our exhibit here at the museum, Mark Mewich, our ceramic artist here, who we're going to be displaying the works of, is doing a tremendous amount to get the word out about turtles and turtle conservation, and he is not trained as an ecologist or biologist.
One final question. If people are aware that there are turtles on their property, is there anything they can do, you know, short of obviously being careful with the car, is there anything they can do that will be helpful in terms of increasing the odds that some of the eggs will survive or anything like that?
One rule, I think, if you have habitat on your property and you have turtles and, you know, other interesting creatures like snakes and whatnot, make sure your habitat stays free of pollution. You know, turtles are pretty sensitive, but as we said, frogs are even more sensitive. So leaving them alone, you know, just simply let them go. You know, don't try to interfere too much. If a turtle digs a hole in your petunia bed and buries its eggs there, you know, don't be too upset. So he throws a few flowers aside, you know, let them do that. Now, if you want to protect a nest of eggs, there are ways of doing that. Sometimes the easiest way is to just take an old window screen, throw it over the top of the ground where the nest is, and weight it down with bricks. And that'll keep the egg predators like raccoons and coyotes and foxes and things from digging up the eggs and eating them. Of course, you've got to remove that screen in late summer, you know, before the turtles hatch, or they'll be trapped there. But that is an easy way to do it. But on the other hand, simply watching it, you know, not doing anything to disturb it, you know, may allow that nest to hatch. Now, if the young turtles hatch out and you find them in the fall and they're wandering across your driveway and, you know, getting stuck in your window wells and things, then sure, you can help them out. You can pick them up, put them in a bucket, and carry them down to the edge of the pond and let them go, because that's where they really wanted to go anyway. So, you know, so there are things we can do. We can sometimes interfere. If somebody knocks on your door and says, "Hey, can I trap turtles in your pond?" Say, no, we want them there. We'll just leave them there. We're happy to have them.
Well, Jim Harding, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for your interest.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.